Ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to actually read about the communion service this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. Actually, let's read from 23 to 28, because I'm going to mention 27 and 28 later on as well. So, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So, as we gather around the Lord's table this morning, it is to remember our Lord Jesus. Particularly this morning, I want us to think of verse 26 in the paragraph that I read. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And I particularly want to focus on the phrase, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Greek word translated as proclaim in most of our translations means to publicly proclaim, to declare, to announce, to make known. So it means to make somebody aware of something. And in this case, it's to make others aware of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his historical death on the cross at Calvary. As we celebrate together around the Lord's table, we are making others aware of the Lord's death. This verb, proclaim, is used 18 times in the New Testament. And if you look up all the verses, you can divide them basically into four different categories of things that are proclaimed, four subjects that are proclaimed, and I just want to share that with you for a few moments. Primarily, proclaim is used in connection with proclaiming the death, resurrection, and the messiahship of Jesus Christ. And that's how we're using the verse here in 1 Corinthians 11. It's proclaiming the Lord's deaths. Another way that it's used, particularly in the book of Acts, it's in relation to preaching the Word of God and preaching the Gospel, proclaiming the Word, proclaiming the Gospel. And then thirdly, we find proclaim used in connection with specific truths of the Word of God. The New Testament talks about proclaiming the forgiveness of sins, proclaiming the way of salvation, and proclaiming the lifestyle of the true believer. And then finally, a little bit of a different slant to this, the word proclaim is used to describe what others are saying about true believers. Romans 1:8 in particular, your faith is being proclaimed in all the world. So we find this word is used to proclaim Jesus Christ, to proclaim the Word of God, to proclaim the Gospel, and to proclaim the truth of God. And then it's used by others to acknowledge that they see a true faith amongst those who profess to be believing Christians. This verse, verse 26, teaches us that every time we gather together around the Lord's table and eat the bread and drink the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death. So as we think about this verse this morning, and particularly again the last part of the verse, let's ask ourselves three questions and then answer those questions in this message. One question is, the first question is, to whom are we proclaiming the Lord's death? To whom are we proclaiming the Lord's death? As we gather around this table, as we eat the bread and drink the cup, to whom are we proclaiming the Lord's death? Well, I have five answers for you for that. We're proclaiming the Lord's death, first of all, to ourselves. As we partake individually of the Lord's table, we're reminding ourselves that Jesus Christ died for my sins. As I participate in eating the bread and drinking the cup, I'm remembering the death of Jesus Christ for my sin. I'm remembering all the benefits of my union with the death of Christ. So this is a reminder to myself of who I am and how I became who I am and what Jesus Christ did for me. Then, number two, we're proclaiming the Lord's death to one another as we partake of the Lord's Supper together. I'm saying to you, this is the Lord's death for you. And you're saying to me, this is the Lord's death for me as we gather together around the Lord's table. I found an interesting verse in Malachi this week as I was thinking about proclaiming the Lord's death to one another. And this is a really neat verse. This might encourage us even to talk about the Lord when we're not in church, but when we're just with one another in other situations. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. So God's saying there, I'm delighted when my people speak about me. In fact, I'm going to put it in my journal, put it in my diary, as it were. And I assure you that those who speak of me and esteem me highly as they speak with one another will be mine when I make up my treasures or my jewels, as another translation says. God loves it when we proclaim him to one another. And that's what we're doing here at the Lord's table as well. Then we are proclaiming the Lord's death to those who are in attendance in the service of the Lord's table. Often when we share communion, there are unbelievers among us. And so we are proclaiming the Lord's death to them as we partake together in the Lord's table. The Lord's table is a witness of the Lord's death for sin and of the only way to escape the wrath of God to those who are watching. It is a witness of the church to those who are joining with the church on a Sunday morning or whenever they're gathering. At the Lord's table, we also proclaim to the spirit world around us. There are demons, there are angels viewing all that we are doing. And we are here before the spirit world proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. We are proclaiming to the devil and all of his demons that the evil schemes against God's people have been brought to an end by the cross. We are proclaiming to the angels in heaven that Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord of glory. And we do that through the Lord's table. And finally, as a community, as the community hears that we are celebrating the Lord's table, as we gather, we are proclaiming to them the Lord's death. And hopefully they'll say, why are they doing that? What does that mean? What's it all about? And that would lead to an inquiry which would help them to understand the importance of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is not only a command of Jesus that we are to obey, but it is a proclamation of the Lord's death which we are to continually practice until Jesus returns in glory. As we observe the Lord's Supper, we are declaring to ourselves, to each other, to unbelievers, to the spirit world, and to our world around us that Jesus died on the cross. And we are drawing attention to his death. So that is who we proclaim the Lord's death to as we share around the Lord's table. Not only are we obeying a command, but we're proclaiming his death to ourselves, to each other, to those in attendance, to the spirit world, and then to the broader world around us. Another question we can ask ourselves is, what is the importance of the Lord's death that we proclaim? What is the importance of the Lord's death that we proclaim? Well, the basic importance of the Lord's death is that the death of Jesus is a judicial payment to God for sin. That might sound complicated. Let me unpack that a little bit. A judicial payment to God for sin. Each one of us, every person born, is a sinner before a holy God. In fact, we're a sinner before a holy God in three different ways. And let me share what those are with you. We are a sinner before God because we are descendants of Adam. As descendants of Adam, we are condemned because of Adam's sin. Let me read to you a couple of scriptures on that, Romans 5:18 and 19. One trespass, which is Adam's sin, led to condemnation for all men. But the one man's disobedience, by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So you can't say, well, I'm living a pretty good life. On the balance, the good outweighs the bad, which is not true, because in God's sight, the bad outweighs the good, no matter what scale you put it on. But here, Romans tells us that we are condemned before God because we belong to the race of Adam. Period. Before we've ever done anything to earn that judgment or that condemnation. It's good that in that same chapter, the opposite is true as well. We earn righteousness and forgiveness before God by the one act of Jesus Christ on the cross, by His death. And so, if this is unfair, certainly the sacrifice of Christ for us is unfair as well, and it's God's grace and mercy to us. So, we are sons of Adam and condemned before Him. The second thing, we inherit a sinful nature. And so we're born slaves to sin. So we're doubly condemned in that sense. Not only because we belong to Adam's family, but because we are born with that sinful nature. And then thirdly, we sin by choice. That sinful nature leads us to individual sin, and that as well is part of our condemnation. Every sin committed must be punished by a holy God, or God cannot be a holy God. If God is not holy, we have no basis in the world for good, for evil, and for moral behavior. God, to be God, must punish sin. And if God is not God, we can do whatever we like, because there's no real moral standards, authoritative moral standards in the world. We can come to a consensus as to what is right, and we'll just do that. And the consensus will constantly be changing as we go along. Pay for our sin would require that we spend eternity in hell. No amount of good behavior, sacrificial living, prayers, sacraments, church attendance, giving is sufficient to pay for our sins committed. At the cross, in the death of Jesus Christ, God provided a sacrifice to pay the just penalty required for every sin ever committed. In His death, Jesus took upon Himself our sin and suffered the punishment for those sins and satisfied the justice of God. Jesus made payment for sin to God for everyone. So we proclaim the Lord's death. We proclaim a judicial payment to God for sin. We proclaim that God's justice has been met so that He might then bring forgiveness to us in that death. Those who recognize their sin, the impossibility of paying for their sin, the sacrifice provided by God and Jesus Christ for sin, and take that sacrifice for themselves, are forgiven for their sins by God in the death of Jesus Christ. So the death of Jesus on the cross is a judicial payment to God for sin, for anyone who would take that payment for their sin. What we proclaim at the Lord's table is the death of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And that's just the beginning. The death of Christ goes way beyond the forgiveness of sins. And I won't be able to explain what I'm going to say next, but I've spoken about that many times before. It also breaks our natural connection with Adam, so that Adam's sin is no longer our sin, that we die to our life in Adam. It renders the sinful nature inoperative, so that we are no longer slaves to sin. In union with the death of Christ, we die to all that we inherited in Adam. We are released from the slavery of sin. We are no longer under the bondage of the law, under the condemnation of the law, and the power of the sinful nature is disabled. Our union with the death of Christ leads to our union with the resurrection of Christ, so that God sees us in Christ. In Christ, we receive His righteousness, the Holy Spirit, and live under grace. We proclaim mighty, mighty things as we gather together around the Lord's table. We are proclaiming at the Lord's table the greatest event this universe has ever witnessed, the death of Jesus Christ. For those of us who have received God's forgiveness and who are now in Christ, we are proclaiming at the Lord's table the greatest event that has ever taken place in our own life as well, that has brought us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that has brought us from hell to heaven, and from darkness to light. The Lord's table is a celebration of the death of Christ and of our forgiveness and new life in Christ. We probably don't realize as we partake of the Lord's table what we are proclaiming, what we are declaring, but it is a great and mighty thing. And then the last question, and I find this very interesting. How do we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes? How do we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes? The verse says that we proclaim the Lord's death by eating the bread and drinking the cup. By eating the bread and drinking the cup. Doesn't talk about what we say. Doesn't talk about anything but the elements and what we do with them. We take the bread and we eat it. We take the cup and we drink it. And by that, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Now, we do speak. I'm speaking right now as we celebrate around the Lord's table. We do apply and explain and go on. But this verse says it is by the eating and the drinking that we are proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. So it's not our words, but our activity, the ritual that we go through at the table that actually proclaims the Lord's death until He comes. And I'm going to connect that hopefully for you. And you'll either go leave scratching your head, or you'll say, wow, I just never thought about that. Praise God for the insight. Another thing to notice here is that at the Lord's table, these elements are taken into us individually by eating and drinking. And so we become participants and we take in the Lord, as it were. And some denominations have that we actually take in the physical body of the Lord. We believe this is symbolic, but it is symbolic of taking in Christ as our nourishment, as our food, as our life, as we partake in the Lord's Supper. So we're doing an activity, eating, drinking, and in that we are also showing that Christ is our life. Christ is the one who sustains us. Out of His death comes life for us. So the Lord's death is expressed both in the activity of eating and drinking the elements, which represent the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and also by taking Christ as our life and nourishment. We proclaim the Lord's death in actions that show that His death brings renewal to our own life. We proclaim the Lord's death in actions that show that His death brings renewal to our own life. Now let me jump here and apply the activity of eating and drinking Christ for new life as a proclamation of the Lord's death to our own personal daily life. Does the activity of your daily life, how you eat your bread, how you do your work, how you interact with individuals, the attitudes, the actions that you have, do they proclaim the importance of Jesus Christ to others? Does my new life proclaim that God has forgiven me, that God has brought me into a new kingdom and a new way of living, that the fruit of the Spirit is at work in me, that I am no longer in Adam, that I am living a righteous and godly life because of the death of Jesus Christ? Do my attitudes, actions, responses to circumstances and people proclaim that Jesus is living inside of me and that the Lord's death has had an impact on my life, a lasting power? Do I show by my life the importance of the Lord's death to God and to mankind? What we have at the Lord's table is not only a picture of Christ, but a picture of how we are to demonstrate Christ to those that we meet in the everyday world, how we are to proclaim Christ in the activities of our life and in the fullness of the life that we live that reflects Christ to others. So how do we proclaim the Lord's death? With an activity, and by showing that this life, this death, has become our life. And we can do that in our everyday circumstances as well. That the activities of our life proclaim that indeed this death has brought life to us. For this daily proclamation of our Lord's death to take place in my daily life, through my actions and attitudes, I need to daily eat Jesus and drink Jesus. This daily renewal from Christ comes by spending time in His presence, in prayer, and in His Word. It comes through regular confession of sin and repentance and obedience to God. It comes through perseverance in trial and suffering and painful circumstances. The Lord's death is proclaimed in my life when the cross of Christ is working in me and I become like Christ to others. So that's what this is saying. The death of Christ, the cross of Christ. When I take that into my life, it gives life to me, and my life can proclaim the Lord's death until He comes, even as this table symbolically proclaims the Lord's death until He comes. As we partake of the bread and the cup this morning at the Lord's table and proclaim the Lord's death, let us remember that we are to proclaim the Lord's death each day by showing that His life is in us because of the death He died for us, and our death to Adam, to sin, to the law, and to the flesh in the death of Christ.